yeah, it's been way too long. No, I'm fine. I'm fine. Things flying by in this break really, really quickly. But, yeah, it's been good.
Yeah.
It's been really good.
We used to talk every day. Now it's few and far between. But I see you at the rink, so it's all good. And, you know, we'll kick some things around here. I'm sure you've talked a lot this week about all different kinds of topics. So let's start with what everyone's talking about in this city. I don't know how much you know the younger lad, but pretty cool weekend for the Tkachuk family, I'm sure.
Well, there's absolutely no question, and we did touch on it quite a bit yesterday, just the story of St. Louis and the two Tkachuks and Father Keith, who, you know, helped make it all happen, and St. Louis really turning into certainly a bit of a hotbed of turning out some prospects, especially, you know, that group that, you know, saw five different St. Louis picks taken very early in the draft in 2016, including the Flames' Matthew at number six overall. So can't even imagine, A, you know, you play in the league yourself if you're Keith and Chantel and you have children, and, you know, to even think that one might be able to follow in dad's footsteps and play at the highest level, let alone two. And now there they are, your two youngsters playing in the city they grew up in an all-star game. Isn't that a storybook?
It is. And, you know, obviously some things lined up to allow this all to happen. Yeah. And Brady being in the locale he was in, it was easy for the league to call him. But there's no doubt, as you mentioned, never promised that these two guys would make it in the league, never mind be top 10 picks and be all-stars or be qualified to be in this game. So pretty awesome. And as we talked to Elliot Friedman earlier this morning, don't know how they're going to do it, but we know that the alumni is strong in St. Louis. It'll be interesting to see how they tie in Keith to all this tonight.
And they absolutely have to, and they absolutely will. I don't think there's any question about that. And can only imagine, we saw 40 strong of the Tkachuk clan in Ottawa for meeting number four of the two brothers last Saturday. Just cannot even imagine what the weekend and the festivities will be like at the Tkachuk household over the next few days. It's a special, special time. And, you know, it's one of those scenarios they'll never be able to recreate. It only happens once for the first time, like everything else, and in St. Louis to boot. And so, yeah, what a moment and what a weekend for that family.
Things are super tight, and it's not going to change over the next 30 games. We kind of, you know, graced the schedule today or went over it, and things kind of, you play St. Louis on Tuesday, that is full go. I believe they've got 9 games the first 17 days of February. Things are certainly busy in March as well. They've got the fortunate in March in terms of just the one trip out east and then a quick one-gamer in Vancouver. But things come out of the gates here hot and heavy for the Flames. And, you know, we're kind of looking at the standings here today. As I'm sure you've talked kind of league-wide topics this week, Lou, put you on the spot a little bit, but 32 games left. Is it easy to say that the spotlight should be shone brightest on Johnny Gaudreau down the stretch, or is there somebody else that maybe is a key to kind of pick things up for this hockey club?
Well, I think there's several guys, but, you know, Johnny would have to be right or near the top of that list. At this time, going into the break last year, 73 points. Plus 20, he's minus 16 right now with 38 points. And again, you know, I'm always fairly nervous about singling out people. However, the one thing that has never changed in sports and will never change is that your best people have to be your best people. And, you know, Mark Giordano certainly, at least numbers-wise, would not be happy with, you know, the amount of points he has so far this year at 22, which was 52 at this point last year. Now, granted, as you and I have talked about, well, both on and off the air, the one thing that I never thought was necessarily going to happen again for this team is, did I think everybody was going to be able to live up to those kind of numbers? No, I didn't. Did I think that this team would necessarily have 107 points again? No. Or be first in the Western Conference? Now, did I think that this part of the season would be filled with the trials and tribulations and, you know, a giant roller coaster ride that has produced so many different events, whether it was TJ Brody, collapsing on the ice, the Bill Peters scenario, Jeff Ward taking over, the inconsistency of their play to being more consistent over the last 25 games. No, to be frank, I've probably never experienced or covered a team with 50 games quite like it, and my guess is I never will. The best part is there's lots of room for the team to be better, and there's lots of room for key individuals to be better, and there's absolutely no question. Has it been a tough time for Johnny Gaudreau? It has been a tough time, and it's been a tough time going back almost exactly a year when the Flames, you know, came out of a break in early February that started with a game in Washington, D.C. against the Capitals. And the Flames as a group and certain individuals just were never able to quite get back to the same level that they did going into the break. Now, the good news is that there's lots of room for growth, my friend. And the bottom line is they can't afford any form of slide from here on in, or they're not going to get in. That's just where they are. Now, that's the downside or the glass half empty side. The glass half full side is that they're completely in control of their own destiny. And that's a good thing. You play 15 divisional opponents. I think 21 is the number of Western Conference opponents you'll face in your last 32. So it's right there. And whether you've had a chance to listen or probably not, the theme of a lot of my hits with Mr. Kirsch this week have just been, it's up to them. It's up to this team with its personnel right now. And I do expect there to be a tweak or two by the time the deadline rolls around. I really do. But it's up to this core group to decide whether they're ready to take another step.
Pete Labardius is our guest. The Flames in the All-Star break. The All-Star weekend, it begins tonight with the Seals competition on Sportsnet at 6 o'clock. Game goes tomorrow. Matthew Tkachuk, Mark Giordano, and David Riddick all there as members of the Calgary Flames. Lou, I guess league-wide in the Western Conference, you look at how tight things are in the standings. We know the Pacific race is not going away, but is there somebody else lurking that you're maybe keeping a close eye on? We know Nashville's got the games in hand. They've made a coaching change. Chicago had that surge. They've had strong goaltending all year. Winnipeg maybe looks like their first half of overachieving is maybe coming to an end, but is there someone lurking in the weeds that the Flames and the rest of the division should be worried about?
Well, I don't know if I can say that I've looked at it like that. What I'm focused on in the last 30 plus games, especially in the Pacific, is can somebody or a couple of teams separate themselves? I mean, Vegas is incredibly interesting to me. I'm still, you know, somewhat stunned by the coaching change they made. And needless to say, I'm a huge fan of the coach that they replaced Gerard Gallant with, and Peter DeBoer, one of my favorite people that I've ever had a chance to get to know in the sport. So it's more now not about anybody that's lurking that I think is going to, you know, either take a big dip or a big jump. It's more about, you know, if they can separate themselves. Or, you know, the big story for me is, it's the first time since 1987 that you can find a division like the Pacific where there's 1 point separating five teams. Like, that's absurd. This is not November. You know, we're not far away from February and 30 games to go by and large. So, yeah, it's not really, my friend, one group or a team or a couple of teams. I'm fascinated to see if certain teams can separate themselves from the group. And, you know, I still think there's a real opportunity in the Pacific for Calgary and Vegas to do it, but will they? Mm-hmm. And if I was to, you know, focus on what I've seen to this point, one team that has not surprised me, and they've had some ups and downs and some long skids and a couple of good streaks, the one team in the Pacific I thought, and you know this, was going to be a handful all year was Vancouver.
Mm-hmm.
I really thought that they would just make life absolutely miserable. And, you know, there they are in a pretty good spot.
Yeah, they got a good home record. And I know we've talked about this off the air, and we can bring it on the air. You think one of the best ads in the summer was JT Miller?
Oh, I don't think there's any doubt about it. And he's gone there and he's embraced it. And, you know, I know they gave up a first round pick, but he has done everything. He's scored. He's won key faceoffs. He's played in some very difficult defensive situations, produced. You know, he has really taken his new opportunity and relished it and embraced it. And there's no chance that the Vancouver Canucks are where they are without him. And just coming from Tampa, where, you know, they expect to win, they do a lot of winning. He wasn't, you know, as high up on the depth chart because of all their ability, but to go in, and I think he's made a big difference for people like Pettersson and Besser, who, you know, again, one of my themes all the time when I chat is that, you know, these young people come in, and he's not very old, but he's been around for a while now, talking about Miller, but it's so much to do, Will, with just taking great talent and ability, and we know that there's never been a stretch really with more young talented people in the league. That's just a fact, but you have to learn all of it, and that means maturing and growing in the leadership side, and we expect so much in this day and age, and there's so much outside noise and pressure and influence. I mean, my friend, even though it's a little off the subject, don't tell me that that hasn't played a major role in all the coaching changes. Mm-hmm. I don't think this occurs 10 years ago. I don't. But the amount of money, the investment, the pressure, the outside noise, that to me has really changed all of it and everything.
Yeah, and all you got to do is look at Vegas. 2 weeks ago, talking extension with Gallant, and then boom, gone.
Right, right. And you know, and at that point, looked like they were potentially ready to separate themselves.
Yeah. Then you lose four in a row and you wake up the next day and you lose your job. So it is crazy how that thing has turned around. My last one for you, pal, or as we kind of wind things down here, how was the week in Miami? You been able to turn your brain off from sports a little bit and kind of, you know, relax, or how have things been going down there?
You know, it was great to see Nats and have 4 days for just us, and you know, not unlike anybody, and, you know, I have a different schedule because I'm not that busy in the summer, but I also have a different schedule, as you know, because, you know, I have a son in one place and significant other in another, and I work in another. So it was terrific. We haven't had a chance to spend much time, less time than we ever have since I've been doing this job. So, you know, I never completely shut my brain off of sports. It doesn't wire that way, and I don't think it ever will wire. But the older I get, the time that you have with your favorite people, for me, I don't take for granted. Because to be honest, in my situation, and it's nobody's fault, it's the way it is, it's what I've chosen, I don't have it very often. So, yeah, it's been really good, and looking forward to spend the weekend with my son. So chance to do a little of everything, and with the rigors of the travel and all that goes hand in hand, you know, people always look at what we do, and it's true, I'm incredibly fortunate and have been for a long time and have never taken it for granted from the first day I got behind a microphone and had a chance to call a hockey game. But you know, the older you get and things change and you change and different experiences change you, I know one thing, at 54, my time with my favorite people has never meant more and has never come with more value.
Excellent stuff, my friend, and I'm glad you're going off to see Kale here for a little bit as well. Let's close out today's hit. It is a Friday. It's time for the usual Lou's Mailbag. You got a chance to win lower bowl tickets every single week on Hockey Central at noon. All you got to do is write in to Lou's Mailbag at sportsnet.ca/960. We sift through the questions, and if your question is selected and read on the air, you are off to an upcoming Flames game, plus a $100 gift card in your back pocket to Ruth's Chris Steakhouse for a little pregame meal. This week's question comes from Bob. It reads, "Hi, Lou. I would love to know your top 10 all-time favorite hockey rinks or barns, what they were or are." So it could be old ones as well. NHL, junior, any level, international. Also like you to tell us why these ones were special to you. The list goes on and on and on. And we talked off the air, Lou, this could go on for days. So yeah, we got an abbreviated, maybe give me one or two that you absolutely have fallen in love with.
Okay. So at some point, I promise, because I've been thinking about it for a long time, I'm going to post at some point in the next few weeks my all-time top 10.
I feel like this could be a summer, like, in-studio chat, too.
Yeah, you're right. Maybe that's when we save it for as well. So I'm going to go with five, basically off the top of my head. To this point in my existence, and I've been in a lot of hockey rinks, in a lot of different locales, in a lot of different sized communities. But to this day, the nicest hockey facility I've ever been in is the site of the 2005 World Junior Hockey Championship, and that's the Ralph Engelstad Arena in Grand Forks, North Dakota. It is a palace. Needless to say, having an opportunity to cover that World Junior, which for many is arguably Canada's best ever World Junior team back in 05. And the list of names is long. Crosby, Bergeron, Weber, Getzlaff, Carter, they keep going on down the list. There's going to be Hall of Famers in that group. So it has some significance that way. Number four is no longer in existence. It's the Estevan Civic Auditorium, and it's the place of my first job. It's the arena where I spent my first 4 years plus in the business and had a chance to call my first ever hockey game back on October 2nd of 1985, and then was the voice of the Estevan Bruins for the better part of 4 years. So that would be number four. Number three would be what is now the Brandt Center and used to be the Agridome in Regina. And again, very, very significant because I was the voice of the Regina Pats for the better part of 5 years and has incredible meaning to me in so many different ways, whether it's friends, the time in my life, and having a chance to be the voice of a Western Hockey League team, which frankly, when I was a little guy growing up in Saskatoon, that was the number one goal at some point. The crazy thing, well, as you know, the team I absolutely despised as a kid growing up was the Regina Pats.
Yeah.
And that's the team that I ended up being the voice of in the Western Hockey League. Number two is the Bell Center in Montreal. It absolutely, to this day, and I sat there, you know, just over a week ago.
Come on, hot dogs.
Well, for me, that's almost last on the list, but it's part of it. It just oozes hockey. It's an incredibly special place. I had a chance to call my first ever NHL game there back in the early 2000s. Watched the World Cup of hockey there in 1996. That fall, the two-game final, the last two of the best of three. So it has incredibly special memories, and it's still to this day a special place. And number one, doesn't even exist and hasn't for many years. It's the Saskatoon Arena. It was nicknamed the Barn. It's the first arena that my parents ever took me to a live hockey game when I was 3 years of age to watch the Blades. It held incredible memories. I can still smell the place as I sit here in this airport talking to you. And it's really where all of my broadcasting hopes and dreams and my love of sports and an incredible love affair began.
And Lou, just before we let you go, the text came in when you were answering that about the, you know, about your rinks and where you spent some time as a young broadcaster. It only made waves this week because of the baseball announcement, but someone was texting and asking if you were around when the Regina Pats cut Larry Walker.
I was not. I remember it happening, but no, that was Larry's time there was before my time, not of watching or being around
sure.
the league, but certainly covering the league.
Well, Lou, anyway, got your flight to catch. We appreciate your time. Safe travels, and can't wait to see you, pal.
Yeah, right back at you. Have a great weekend, everybody, and stay safe.